Good morning, honourable members, as well as the delegations from SAT and chiefs from the Municipal Police Services, as well as IPAC, Secretariat, Civil Society and Media. Welcome to the Portfolio Committee on Police. It's 9 o'clock, so we will start. Maybe just then, at the start of the meeting, I just want to get again the role of Parliament. Chapter 4 of the Constitution, 42.3. The National Assembly is elected to represent the people and ensure governed by the people under the Constitution. It does this by discussing, by choosing the president, by providing a national forum for public consideration of issues, by passing legislation, and by scrutinizing and overseeing executive action. That's going to be our focus today. And in terms of the new rules of the National Assembly, the 9th edition, Rule 227, the former Rule 201, which means the Portfolio Committee must deal with bills and other matters falling within its portfolio, as I referred to in terms of the Constitution, legislation, these rules, the joint rules, or by resolution of the Assembly, must maintain oversight of the exercise within its portfolio of national executive authority, including the implementation of legislation, any executive organ of state falling within its portfolio, any constitutional institution falling within its portfolio, and any other body or institution in respect of which oversight was assigned to it. VC may monitor, investigate, inquire into, and make recommendations concerning its such executive organ of state, constitutional institution, or other body or institution, including the legislative program, budget, rationalization, restructuring, functioning, organization, structure, staff, and policies of such organ of state, institution, or other body or institution. My consultant is the executive organ of state or constitutional institution. So that just as a reminder in terms of context. And then I think it's very important again, Chapter 12 of the NDP, where the role of the South African Police Service, but also the role of the Municipal Police is highlighted, and I just want to quote from page 390. The South African Police Service and Metropolitan Police should be viewed as professionals working in a skilled occupational group to protect the public. They are the only agencies mandated to use necessary the supposed ethical conduct should be practiced to maintain the public perception of police as a professional institution. Also, as part of our strategic plan, the committee must ensure that the principles of the NDP is promoted, and we evaluate also where is the agencies in terms of ensuring that the NDP is implemented. So this morning's discussion is in light of that. So we're very glad that the Metropolitan Police Chief are with us, as well as SAPS, and IPED, and the other institutions. I'm first going to give our content advisor, Evan Kings, just to give an opportunity to him to brief us from a research perspective, and then we'll start with the introductions as well as the presentations. In terms of the order, we'll first take SAPS, then the Chiefs, and then IPAC in that order. So over to our content advisor. Thank you.
Good morning. See, the Municipal Police is established in terms of Section 216 of the South African Constitution and Section 64E of the South African Police Services Act. Section 64E of the SAP Act, by 68 of 95, any municipality may, in the prescribed manner, apply to the member of the Executive Council for the establishment of a Municipal Police Service for the area of the jurisdiction. Section 64L of the SAP Act states that the National Commissioner may determine national standards of policing for Municipal Police Services and the training prescribed to the traffic officers in terms of the Road Traffic Act, 1989 of 1989, also determine national standards with regard to the training of members of Municipal Police Services. The establishment of the Municipal Police, Section 205, provides for the structuring of the police and national of the constitution that is, the structuring of police at national, provincial, and the appropriate local level of government. That the National Police Service must be structured to function in the national, provincial, and the appropriate local spheres of government. The municipalities that want to establish a Municipal Police Service, as in terms of the SAPS Act as amended, apply to the member of the Executive Council in terms of 64, Section 64A of the SAPS Act Amendment Act 83 of 1998. So the NEC must satisfy him or herself that the application complies with prescribed requirements. B, the municipality has resources at its disposal to provide a municipal police service which complies with the national standards on a 24-hour basis. C, the traffic policing service by the municipality will not be reduced or affected by the establishment of a municipal police service. the proper provision has been made by the municipality to ensure the full supervision of the municipal service. Many of the municipal of the municipal services have oversight for the 16. The establishment of the municipal police service will improve the effective policing in that part of the province. So the functions, I'm just glossing over some of the notes in detail. According to Section 54 of the SAP Act, the functions of the municipal police are a traffic policing subject to any legislation related to road traffic. Two, the municipal policing of bylaws and regulations which are the responsibility of the municipality in question. And then C is the prevention of crime. That's a very broad area change. Maybe we can talk about it later this committee. The sixth, established metropolitan police services. The following municipalities, Johannesburg, Victoria, Cape Town, Tshwane, Nelson Mandela Bay, Tshwane, and Ekurhuleni. The possibilities that has been in the media recently, the white paper on policing makes clear that while the Constitution provides for the civil police service in Section 199 of the Constitution, it does not foresee the wholesale usurping of powers of municipalities. And I just want to quote from white paper, it says, streamline the delivery of essential policing services, particularly at local level, hinges on the establishment of institutionalized structure at national level that will facilitate collaboration and ensure implementation and compliance with agreed uniform national standards for discipline and training amongst others. This model of integrated policing, and this is important, does not advocate usurping the powers and functions of municipalities through the wholesale integration of metro police services into the SAPs. Rather, it is geared towards ensuring the overall operational command of the service, deepen effective oversight of the municipal police service, and enable an optimal utilization of public resources. Ultimately, greater emphasis must be placed on maximizing the utilization of law enforcement resources for effective and efficient policing. Training. In this section 64L of the SAP Act, the National Commissioner may determine national standards of policing for municipal police services, and in addition to training prescribed traffic officers in terms of the Road Traffic Act 1989, determine national standards with regard to the training of members of municipal police services. The committee should also probe what areas there is road training of the members of metro police and the SAP. It's really important that there is road training between the community in view of such as they do joint operations change. Other areas of training should be considered with respect to joint operational planning and management of joint operations. Training in all aspects of observing the law and human rights must also be a consideration between SAPs and the metro police. The laws of cooperation. The committee should inquire into a number of matters related to the levels of cooperation between such and metro police. The levels of cooperation between such and the metro police services should be examined to, with respect to a number of service level agreements signed by the SAP National Commissioner, the SAP Acting National Commissioner, and the head of the metro police service in question. Is it possible question that we presented in terms of Section 64C2G of the SAP Act of amended 1998? An annual police plan must be developed by the executive head of the municipal police service after consultation with the provincial commissioner. Now, we must check whether in fact there has been that plan has been approved when it comes to policing priorities and needs in the local municipalities and has been decided by the provincial commissioner in question. The standards, there have been national standards developed. The police has national standing orders and national instructions for the metro police at key national standards, and they have developed national standards on domestic violence, on crowd management, on municipal police services, risk procedures and protocols, on management of crime scenes, occurrences and pocketbooks, which the committee is well aware of, and then standards, forms, and registers. I think the committee should probe the areas of training and see to what extent there has been improvements in the training arena and the cooperation and joint operational collaboration, police brutality and civil oversight. We've been a few reports of some a few members of the Metro Police using excessive force in some cases, and then crowd management issues, first responder issues if somebody gets to the scene, how that is managed. Our professionalized unit, because I see a lot of the metro police services have established specialized units. Now, in terms of the mandate of crime prevention, we have to, as a committee, check that the mandates are clearly defined and that there isn't overlap or focus. Do the Metro Police Services handle intelligence? Do they gather intelligence? And is that not contravention of the National Strategic Intelligence Act and so on and so on? And then I think I just raised that to members. Thank you.
Thank you for the presentation. We appreciate. Are members any question for clarification? Right. Honourable Groenewald.
I just want to make sure. The other day I drove in Joburg and there was a national traffic sort of police. Where does it fit in there? Because it says a municipality. You remember I filmed you? Yes.
There has been a national unit established. I don't have the details of that unit, and that's certainly something that we were to begin, but it's related to the National Department of Transport. It's not under the auspices of SEPs at this stage. And I'm sure it is something that when we do the white paper contribution, we have to consider. Sorry, when we do the SEPs.
Thank you, members. I will now allow the other members to introduce themselves, and then I'll ask the other delegations as well.
Dumelang gaetsho, leina la ka lena Angel Molebadi, ke leloko la komiti e, ke a leboga.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, colleagues. I am Sheikh Imam, member of the committee.
Dumelang, le leboga, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Mondi, Mr. Bisha, leboga, ni member wa he committee. Le leboga. Thank you, Chef. My name is Kumile Mola, member of this council committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Mari Nevenay, also a member of the committee.
Goedemorgen, this is Pieter Groenhout, lid van die komitee.
Thank you, Chairperson. Sambanani Ikamusa Helen Bele, member of the committee.
Thank you very much. I'll ask General Messia, head of Visible Policing Staff, to introduce her delegation.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson. Good morning, Honorable Members of the committee. The delegation from SAPS is as follows. On my right-hand side, I have a Lieutenant General Kwena, who is just 6 days in his promotion. He was a member under myself at Proactive Policing. He was the head of the components there. He is now heading the human resource utilization. And on my left-hand side, I have Major General Chaude, who is the head of Education, Training and Development Standards in the Division of Human Resource Development. Next to him, I have Major General Inyalunga, who took over from General Bena in the Proactive Policing Environment under Division Visible Policy. And I have a strategic person from our strategic management, that is General K.B. Stein, that is the delegation for each person.
General Masia, then I'll ask the ED of IPED, Mr. Kiyane, to introduce the delegation.
First, President and Honorable Members, my name is Israel Kamanyane, Acting Executive Director for the IPIC. On my right, I have Director Strategy, Mayor Lindiwe Ntanduka. Next to me, on my left, is Ibata Kgomo, Acting Program 2, Manager Investigations and Information Management. Next to him, we've got Dr. Rovira Burau, our international spokesperson. Next to Dr. Burau is the Director for Investigations Deputy Provincial Head for Gauteng, Dr. Morema. Next to Dr. Morema, we've got Mayor Lindiwe Ntanduka. This is our CFO, assisting us in Gauteng office. Next to her, we've got Advocate Dwele, the Provincial Head Western Cape. Next to him, we've got Ntate Thabo Leholo. He's the Acting Program Manager 3, Legal Services at the office. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Mr. Kamiyane. Then I'll ask the relevant chiefs. They have the back to introduce themselves. You're welcome.
Morning, everybody. I'm Eugene Zama, the Chief of the Exhibition Metro Police. Yes.
Morning, Chair and the member of the committee. I am Steve Ngoyeni, the Chief of the Tshwane Metropolis.
Good morning. I'm Dr. Patrice Armstrong, National Narrow Point from Metropolis.
Good morning. I'm Bazinyanda,
the chief of Johannesburg Metropolis.
Honorable Member Kaitan, the police chief.
Morning, Station and Honorable Members. I'm Bafana Shah, the chief of police at Gurlen.
Thank you very much for the chief's full introduction. You're very much welcome. We will now start with the first presentation. General Sia, you're welcome, sir.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. We have our presentation here in relation to the relationship that we are having with the Metro Police Department, and the person that will be leading us in the presentation is Lieutenant General Quinn. Over to you, General.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, Lieutenant General Masia. The content insofar as the presentation is concerned is as follows. We'll follow the regulatory framework, background, established Metro Police Services, involvement in police committees, national forums for municipal police services, sub-forums of the national forums for municipal police services, developmental support for members of Metro Police Services, post-basic training development, integrated operations and communication channels. Firstly, starting with the regulatory framework, what regulates us as well as the Metro, the Constitution of the country, Act 108 of 1998, the Subs Act of 68 of 1995, the Subs Amendment Act 83 of 1998, Local Government Systems Act 32 of 2000, Regulation for Municipal Police Service Government Gazette Number 20142 dated 11 June 1999. So far as the background is concerned, the Metro Police Services are established in terms of Section 64 of the Subs Act 1995. The Metro Police Services resort under the respective Metropolitan Councils and are completely independent entities. Section 64L of the Subs Act provides that the National Commissioner may determine national standards of policing, including standards of training. Section 64E of the Subs Act provides the functions of Metro Police Services as traffic subject to any legislation relating to road traffic, the policing of municipal dialogues and regulations, and the prevention of crime. The Division of Visible Policing, that is the custodians of crime prevention in the SAS, is responsible for coordination and liaison between Metro Police Services as well as the SAPS. Collaboration and strong cooperation between the SAS and the MTS are essential to address the levels of crime in South Africa. The establishment, established Metro Police Service, there are six, as already alluded to. Firstly, the Durban or Ekurhuleni Metro Police Department, Johannesburg Metro Police Department, Ekurhuleni, Tshwane, Cape Town, as well as Nelson Mandela Bay Metro Police Department. But it should be noted that although Nelson Mandela Bay Municipal Metro Police Department was officially established in 2012, it has not been fully operational due to internal challenges. Involvement in the police committees. The MPS are involved in the following policing committees with SAS. At national level, they are involved in NAD joint, national joint intelligence operational structures. At provincial level, at provincial joints. At local level, at SAS stations, crime combating forums, as well as community policing forums. National Forum for Municipal Police Service. A constitution has been developed to govern the forum. The forum supports the development of national cooperation agreements, national policing standards and procedures, the identification and sharing of good practices. The forum is convened and chaired by the Divisional Commissioner of Visible Policing on behalf of the National Commissioner. The meetings are held on a quarterly basis. The sub-representatives in these forums are provincial commissioners where MPS and Metro Police Services are established, that is Gauteng, KwaZulu-Natal, Western Cape and Eastern Cape. The divisions that are involved in these committees, HRD, are training, operational response services, technology, management services, and policy and legal services. They are all involved in this forum. That is the national forum. The other representatives and their roles. The MPS hosts meetings and contributes towards joint initiatives. The Road Traffic Management Corporation, RTMC, on behalf of the National Department of Transport, report on traffic-related matters. They also do attend these national forum meetings that are held on a quarterly basis. The civil... The civil secretariat for the police reports on new legislation and status quo in respect of a single police service.
Independent Police Investigative Directorate IP report challenges regarding reported cases. The Road Traffic Enforcement Agency report on implementation of adjudicative administration of road traffic offenses, that is ARTO. All these are part and parcel of this national forum. On a quarterly basis, they do attend this forum. Apart from the main forum, there are two sub-forums that have been established. The first one is the National Training Committee for the Metro Police Services. Here, meetings are held also quarterly. We discuss issues related to training of the Metro Police. The meeting is chaired by the Divisional Commissioner of Human Resource Development and is convened 2 days before the National Forum for Metro Police Chief Meetings. The chairperson of this above subcommittee attends the National Forum to present the report under their agenda. The composition is comprised of SRAPS, MTS, RPMC. Another sub-forum, the second one, is the National Research and Technical Committee of the MTS. The meeting also, they are held quarterly. The meeting chaired by Chief of Municipal Police Services, the chairperson of the ABATRAP Committee, attends the NMFPS to present the report under their agenda points. Here, the discussion is on technical and research issues, for example, sharing of systems and equipment. The meeting is convened 2 days before the National Forum. Composition is such as well as the MPSs. The development and support of members of the municipal services. The support required from the Division of Human Resource Development has across the fields of responsibility of the respective human resource development components and requires an integrated approach. The RAS provide assistance in the following areas. Assessment of management and quality assurance of the policing entry-level qualification for the Metro Police Service members, that is Law Enforcement Skills Program 24 of 2012. The guidance with the development of a single unique qualification for the Metro Police Services under the Quality Control for Trade and Occupation QCTO. The provisioning of additional training programs for the MPS, for example, drill, physical training instructors, management and leadership training, crowd management, training in general policing. Mostly we use a cascade method where we train the trainers of the Metro Police members who will then cascade the training further down to their members. We also assist with the monitoring of training progress and standards in the MPS environment as such. Post-training development. After training, the SAPS is responsible for assisting the metros with post-billet training in all relevant policing fields, mainly focusing on training of trainers in existing programs and new legislation. An annual need analysis is done to determine the identification needs that are faced in the SAPS training program. What we do, we request the metros to submit to us their requirements in terms of training so that we slot in all their requirements in our training program. The National Commissioner has given an instruction, the 18th, to say, usually they used to pay back when we trained them in terms of food and accommodation because there were certain issues finance-wise. Usually the process is cumbersome. Now, at the beginning of this year, indicated that the Metro Police, if they are using our facilities, they will be trained for free. Seats are offered on cost at no cost, including accommodation and meals, if the trainees are accommodated at such academies. Subdivision Human Resource Development keep records of all training provided to the Metro Police Services. Integrated operation and communication channels. The regulation for Metro Police, for Municipal Police Services require that the executive heads, that is the chiefs of Metro Police Department, must develop an annual plan in cooperation with the relevant sub-provincial commissioner. The aforementioned plan must relate to the prevention of crime in the area of jurisdiction of the municipal council concerned. Based on the regulation as stated above, joint operations are banned, coordinated and executed at provincial legislation level. Being at provincial level on an annual basis, the chiefs where the metros are invited by the provincial team to plan the annual plan for that particular province in terms of the prevention of crime. Operations are reported on quarterly basis by the Metropolitan Police Nodal Point to the Division of Civil Policing. Examples of integrated operations. We'll talk about joint roadblocks. I think the members will be aware in many instances where subs are holding roadblocks, also the metros are there. 50 season operations that arrive alive, and so receipts and secure elections, opening of parliament, the policing of sports events, operation combat in Cape Town regarding gangs, a national and international summit, for example, FOCAC, that was recently held in Sandton, communication channels. No that ones have been established at every role player department in order to ensure smooth communication and to avoid the duplication between role players. All communication is sent via the no that ones. And that is all. Thank you, Ronald Chair.
Thank you very much, Sats, for the presentation. We will now go over to the Metro Chiefs. Alina is going to lead the presentation. You're welcome.
Yes, Chair. Thank you, Chair. I am Stephen Rene, the Chief of the Southern Metro, as indicated. I'll be presenting on behalf of the Chiefs, and any question each member will be able to respond to that aspect. Our presentation is divided into four sections, like it's indicated: the overview of the Metropolitan Police Department, law enforcement mandate, cooperation platforms, and challenges. As alluded in the previous presentation, these are the six metros, which is the Tshwane, Johannesburg, Ekurhuleni, eThekwini, Nelson Mandela, and Cape Town. This is the overview of the eThekwini, the Durban Metropolis. That is the structural arrangement. And there's a brief profile of the chief there, who is the oldest police officer in the metros in South Africa. And the total staff complement of 2,490, and of that, the operational staff component is 1,845. The population of Devon is estimated at 3.442. 361, and the area is roughly 2,291 square kilometers. The structural arrangement is headed by the chief of police, and then underneath him are the regional commanders. Let's move to the next slide. The continuation of the Devon profile. They have got specialized units, which is the dog unit, the equestrian unit, the public transport unit, and the crowd control unit. This is an overview of the Johannesburg Metro Police, headed by Chief Zama, Chief Nyanda, and the date of the establishment was 2001 March. The total staff complement is 3,719, and of that, the operational staff is 3,160. The population for the Johannesburg is estimated at 4,434,837, and the area is estimated at 1,644 square kilometers. The structural arrangement is headed, the department is headed by the Chief of Police, who is Chief Nyanda. Underneath him, you have got the Regional Operations Director, the Bylaw Management Director, Specialized Services Director, Internal Affairs Director, Auxiliary Services Director in the Academy. The specialized unit for Johannesburg Metro Police are the dog units, the equestrian unit, the specialized patrol unit, the IP protection unit, and cloud control unit. This is an overview of the Cape Town Metro Police, headed by Chief Leroux, established 1 December 2001. The total operational component is 1,714. The Metro Police of the 1,714 is 435, traffic services 495, law enforcement 784. The population is estimated at 3,740,030 people. The area is estimated at 2.461 square kilometer. The structural arrangement is headed by the chief of police, followed by the deputy chief, the central operations, deputy chief civilian and internal affairs, deputy chief support services, deputy chief finance, and deputy chief CCTV. The specialized unit for the Cape Town Metro Police is they've got the dog unit, the equestrian unit, substance abuse or drug unit, veto unit, a gang task team, crowd control unit, social crime prevention, and bio-law enforcement unit. The overview of the Ekurhuleni Metro Police. Metro Police is headed by Chief Bakala Mahabe. The Metro Police was established 16 February 2002. The total staff complement is 2,432. Of the 2,432, operational staff component is 1,675. The population of Ekurhuleni is 3,178,470. The area coverage is estimated at 1.975 square kilometers. The structural arrangement is headed by the chief of police, followed by the chief of staff, the deputy chief operations and specialized services, the deputy chief auxiliary and support services, the deputy chief bylaws, and the deputy chief security. The specialized unit for Ekurhuleni is the dog unit, equestrian unit, substance abuse or drug unit, specialized response technical unit, VIP protection unit, crowd control unit, overload unit, speed law enforcement, bylaw unit, OR Tambo precinct, the national key point unit. This is the overview of the Tshwane Metro Police, stated by Chief Ngobeni. The Metro Police was established for April 2002. The total staff complement is 4,204. Of the 4,204, the operational staff complement is 3,931. The population of Tshwane is 2.9 to 1.488 million, and the area coverage is 6,298 square kilometer. The structural arrangement is the department headed by the chief of police. Underneath him, the deputy office of the staff officer, deputy chief regional policing, deputy chief specialized policing, deputy chief training, research and resource development, deputy chief police support and administration. The specialized unit is a dog unit, equestrian unit, substance abuse or drug unit, specialized response or technical unit, health protection, crowd control unit, social crime prevention, people safety unit, drug and driving support unit, speed law enforcement unit, and the bylaw unit. This is the overview for the Nelson Mandela Bay Metro Police. The structural arrangement is the chief of police. They've got an 18 person there. And that position is still vacant. The date of the establishment, as alluded to in the previous presentation, 22 December 2012. The total staff complement is not yet implemented, and the operational staff complement not yet implemented. The population of the metro is 1,152,115. And the area coverage is estimated at 1,959 square kilometers. In terms of the structural arrangement, is there's a chief of police, but the underneath structure I think they still need to establish that. The CTB of the presentation deals with the law enforcement mandate and the constitutional framework. In terms of the constitution, the following section makes
so, Chief, maybe you can skip those first three because I think the other presentation
yes,
that
means, yeah.
part of it, maybe you can just start with section B, the legislative mandate
okay.
on crime prevention and violence.
Yes. Section B, the traffic policing. The traffic policing is subject to any legislation relating to the road traffic or road policing are the National Road Traffic Act, which is 1996 Act Number 93 of 1996, National Land Transport Act of 2009, Act Number 5 of 2009, Administrative Adjudication of Road Traffic Offences Act 1998, Act Number 64 of 1998. Presently only active in Johannesburg and Tshwane. The legislative mandate, bylaws and regulation of policing. The policing of the municipal bylaws and regulation, which are the responsibilities of the municipality in policing. Municipalities which promulgate bylaws represent their unique environment. The crime prevention. In terms of the crime prevention, South African Police Act 1995, as alluded in the previous presentation, Act Number 68 of 1995, Criminal Procedure Act 1997, Act Number 1 of 1997, Regulation of the Municipal Police Services, Regulation 10, Arrangement Annex 5 and 6, which contains various sections of the different legislation applicable to the Municipal Police Services, the National Policing Standards, e.g. the crowd management, domestic violence, etc., etc. The legislation relating to cooperation. The legislation relates cooperation between the subs and the metros. Not a service level agreement as metro is not an agent for subs. And the ever-changing legislative landscape of policing demands more flexible cooperation system. The regulations, national standards and national instructions are issued to accommodate new legislation, crime patterns and instructions such as the national standard for the metro police crowd management, the national standard for domestic violence, the national standard for crime scene management, the national standard for the arrest search and seizure. The following section of the sub-act regulates cooperation. That is section 64C, 2B to G, and section 64K, L, M, N, O, and section 64P. The cooperation between subs and metros, the cooperation and coordination between subs and the metros happen in terms of legislation and continuously through national standards, the standard operation procedure, regulation, national instruction, local station meetings, cluster meetings, provincial joint meetings, national joint meetings, and national chief forums meetings. This relates to the previous presentation. The general spoke to all these meetings. I think we can jump this one. It has been alluded also in the previous national metro police meetings and all the relevant forums. The challenges, the common challenges faced by all the metro police departments are the insufficient funding for the law enforcement infrastructure or the tools of trade, vehicles, communications, weapons, and information systems. Specialized training and equipment, those are the equipment we used during the crowd management. And slow growth of staff, such a huge growth in population, increase in events, protest actions, land invasion, and required policing. Increased demand. fund by community for local policy. The legislative challenges, we have got the limitation in terms of the investigative powers for traffic and bylaw-related crimes, that the metros are not having powers such as keep the additional girls and fire safety. Excessive requirements placed on training and accreditation, need for a dedicated national metro police qualifications, and that's all, sir.
Thank you, Steve. Commissioner Nogumeni. Then we will ask IPET to deal with the presentation on IPET's function in terms of the legislation.
Thanks, Chairperson and honorable members. The request which was directed from IPET was the briefing by IPET on Metro Police cases and outcomes. So it will be a very brief presentation that focuses mainly on those particular two issues. I will deal with the presentation. The outline of the presentation is the introduction, then the summary of cases. First, then it will be followed by the outcomes of those particular cases, but it will be related to Gauteng, Province, KwaZulu-Natal, Western Cape, Eastern Cape. Gauteng, we have combined the three metros that are within the particular province, but we do have the breakdown from the province with regards to that is contained by the provincial heads and the concluding remarks. On the introduction, the purpose is to brief the portfolio committee on the cases and outcome of investigations of these cases against the Metro Police Services for the period 2012-2013 up until the financial year 2015-2016. The focus there is the presentation focuses mainly on the on metros in following provinces, the four provinces, to a lesser extent the Eastern Cape, which is your Nelson Mandela, and it is worth mentioning that the Nelson Mandela Metro Police Service in the Eastern Cape was recently established. I think it was launched, if not last year, it was beginning of this year, early this year. The first stakeholder engagement meeting between IPET and the MPS in the Nelson Mandela took place on the 25th of August, I think it was last month, to discuss IPET's mandate and the roles and responsibilities of the members of the Nelson Mandela Metro Police. In summary, the one slide four is the number of cases that were received for the period 2013-2017 financial year. We do have the offences contained in our Section 28 of the IPET Act, from Section 28.1 up until H and 28.2 section. Your Gauteng, which is the EMPD, your JMPD, your TMPD, on the assault we do have 16, then the murders and attempted murder 6, then intimidation 1, that is the loss of police action 4, death in custody 0, corruption 1, raid 2, discharge of an official firearm 3, then your failure to comply with the IPT, which is your Section 33, we don't have any other matter in respect of Section 28. 1H is 0, then the total number there is 33 combined, but we do have the breakdown in respect of each metropolis. Your case at N, it's a mini. Your assault, 12, murder, attempted murder, and the death in custody and as a result, death is 0, then intimidation, 0. Then as a result is 10 in custody, 0, then the corruption is 2, rape 1, the discharge of an official firearm, 11, failure to comply, 1, which is section 33, with the IPED X obligations on section 29, then all in all is 37. The Western Cape is leading with 124, with the assault 52, then the following 200, then you have death results 2, in custody 1, then corruption 0, rape 3. Your discharge of an official firearm is leading there with 65, and the failure to comply 0, then any other matter is 1. The total is 124. Your Eastern Cape is only one case that was registered under the Metro Police, which is the assault 1. With regards to the remaining categories, zeros to out. The grand total is 195 cases, but the leading is the assault, then followed by the discharge of an official firearm. Assault with 80 and 79, the discharge of an official firearm. Your summary of outcomes of these particular cases for the very same period and the period that has been indicated there. Active out of 195, active is 37, and the decision ready, where we have completed the matters and referred respondent matters to the HPP and the DPP, is 102. Then the matters on the court roll, which are on trial, is only for Gauteng, which is 9. Then your closed matters, where we have analyzed everything, just gone through all the processes and the in archive is 47. All in all, it's there for 195. In conclusion, as a way of concluding, it is worth mentioning that IPT is a member of the National Forum of Municipal Police Service and participate in the quarterly meetings chaired by the Divisional Commissioner Baseball. And furthermore, all the provincial heads of respective Metro Police, the different part of the solidarities and legal services from head office. Furthermore, the directorate has ongoing stakeholder engagement with the MPS in Gauteng, KwaZulu-Natal and Western Cape. And efforts will be towards maintaining better relationship with the newly established Metro Police in the Nelson Mandela Bay in Eastern Cape. As honorable members, we do have details with regards to the narratives of the explanations of all those particular figures and the respective provincial heads of the provinces will be able to respond and give details with regards to those paranarratives. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Khamiyane, for that. That concludes the presentations and we will then immediately go to questions. Maybe the first couple of questions from my side. I see from SAP's presentation that the Thieves and the Metro Police is participating in the NAB joints and the Graph joints. Now, are these members from the Metro Police better, especially those at national level? I just want to get an indication, yes or no, and if no, the reasons for that. Then the second issue, if you look at the presentations from the Chiefs, in all this, about 15,000 Metro Police in South Africa, 15,000, and that's a lot. So they play an important role in their respective fields. So it's important that they play a role in terms of the relevant regulations as well as e-scripts. I just want to maybe get an explanation on the establishment of the specialized units, especially those with public, dealing with public crowd control as well as drugs investigative, of an investigative kind. The jurisdiction for that or the authorization. Can you just not indicate where is that specifically in terms of the relevant action or regulations? Okay, that is my question. So let's go to other one there.
Thank you, Chair. Do we have any number limitations per round?
Keep round.
Okay. Then for my, I'm just going to go in sequence of the presentations as we've got them. My first question is to the SAPS, which is Hannah Tasia. First question to SAPS in relation to slide 4. It mentions that it's the VISPOL division that is the lead division for coordination and liaison with the Metro Police services. The impression that gave me is that the other two key divisions of crime intelligence and detective services might not be in the mix, which would seem to be a shortcoming on my part, because certainly crime intelligence can inform the operational planning for the Metro Police Services, and I think close liaison with detective services would give more bang for the buck in the work of the Metro Police to carry risks and that sort of thing through the pipeline to connections. So my broad question from that point is, what about detective services and crime intelligence in terms of the cooperation and the interface between the two, and specifically if the SAPS does avail relevance and importance crime intelligence to the Metro Police Services around joint operations and just to assist their work. And then my second question here, I don't seem to have another one around the SAPS, so just moving on to the Metro Police presentation. My second question would be, I noted that with a couple of the Metro Police services, Johannesburg, Ekurhuleni, and Tshwane, there's mention of a VIP protection unit. Can I just get a bit more clarity and detail on what that entails? Who are the VIPs being protected by these units? To my mind, it seems to be a bit of a distraction from the core of the Metro Police as outlined in Mr. Kinner's presentation as well as reflected here. And yeah, that is kind of too much of a distraction.
Thank you, Jay. Jay, I want to come back to the National Department of Transport. I'd like to get more detail on that unit. Do they have the same powers? And what do they do separately, for instance, the metro where you have the Metro Police as such? So I'd like to have clarity on that. Our second question, Chairperson, is in the presentation, we all see that there are joint operations. My question is, in such a joint operation, who's in charge? For instance, are the Metro Police members, are they under the charge of the police, or are they on their own? How do they coordinate that? That is an important issue for me. Jefferson, then...
Thank you, Honourable.
Over.
Sorry. We'll have a second by Honourable Riedlinger.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Jefferson. Just, if I may, just a comment, a brief comment. If I look at the Constitution, Section 205(3), that refers specifically to the powers and functions of the police. And there's a very clear difference. If you look at it, it says the police, their functions or powers are to prevent, combat, and investigate. And the Metro Police do not have that investigative capacity or function, not afforded to them. And it also then goes on to talk about public order policing, which is a function of the SAPS. And to add to your question, I see the crowd control unit, and we know the control unit that public order policing has been recently given what happened with Marikana, etc. Is it really within the Metro Police Department's powers to maintain public order? Is it always in conjunction with the police? And then, about relationships, my question about relationships, what are the relationships that the Metro Police Department have with the, for example, MMCs for security? We know that the Minister has direct and control and can direct the policing policy, etc. What role do MMCs play as a political link with the Metro Police Department? And again, on relationships, about the joint operation jurisdiction. Section 64A, I think 3 or 2 or 1 of the police of the South Act is very clear that the Metro Police Department is established for a specific jurisdiction. I'm assuming that that jurisdiction is along the borders of the municipality for which it was established, but not provincial boundaries. So when you do the joint operations in Johannesburg, for example, as we saw on Monday, where the Ekurhuleni Metro Police Department was standing outside the Zulu House, How did that happen? Is it within the law for such a thing to happen? Because it is outside the jurisdiction. Where did that come from? Did it come on their own initiative? I just want some clarity on the role of the police then provincially to authorize such a deployment, if you will, or how that can happen. Thank you.
Member from Lumbamula, that was four questions.
It's too very long. Okay.
Thank you, Sir President, and thank you for your presentation. In your presentation, General, you said Nelson Mandela Bay Metropolitan was established in 2012. But up until now, it has not yet fully operational due to internal challenges. What are the challenges? My second question, Chief Ngubeni, do the Metro Police use crime intelligence to inform their crime prevention operations? If not, why not? Thank you, Chief. Thank you, Chairperson. On the first presentation, I'd like to know if the Provincial Commissioner and Head of the Metro Police meet on regular basis to discuss operational cooperation in the fight against crime. And again, the relationship and cooperation between SAPS and all the six metros. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I would start off with the last presentation. I'm noting with shock the number of incidents and cases that have been investigated by IFED in Western Cape. With such a high rate of violence and murder in the province, you now find 80% of those almost that are investigated by IFED coming from the Western Cape. And I'd like IFED to tell us why the Western Cape is so notorious for this kind of performance or action that they do, which is in my view reckless. The second thing is I want to know, in terms of this, when there are civil claims for Metropolis, does it still fall under the claims go to national government, to SAC itself, or does the municipality, in light of the fact that they are formed by the municipality, do they pay the brunt of these any civil claims that might come in as a result of police negligence in action, or of different action?
Thank you, sir. There seems to be an overlap of your duties, Metro and SAPS. Now my question is, where do you draw the line to say this is for SAPS, this is for us? You look at things like, you know, specialized units, you name them, they are there in SAPS now. You have them now in your methods. Where do you draw the line? A second one is to IPED. Remember yesterday when you spoke about training, the awareness training. You mentioned the unavailability of subs that details your work. Now does it mean you include metros into those trainings, the awareness training? That's it.
Very much, Honorable Marky. Honorable Mabunga, could you question for you for cover at this point? But please alert me, I don't want to leave you up. Thank you. Thank you very much, Honorable Members. Let's go to SAPS, the Chiefs and IPED. Thank you. General Masia.
Thank you so much, Honorable Chair. And I would like to appreciate the presentation first of all from the Chief of Metro and the IPED. I will start with the question of the Honorable Chair, the participation of these members of Metro in the NAT joints and the POP joints if they are vetted. Currently, I don't have an answer how many of them are vetted and how many are not vetted. And must take note that during the NAT joints and the POP joints, not the same members are normally attending. the members are changed as well. And so I'll have to go and check with our crime intelligence and submit that answer in writing to you, Honorable Chair. The question of Honorable Mbele on slide number 4, why do we have only division visible police in there and not the crime intelligence and the detectives? The division visible policing is the lead division for us to facilitate and manage these forums. But what is happening during the planning of the operations in the during the National Crime Combating Forums, the Prof joins and the NET joins, the two divisions are involved with the all planning of the operations. So we do share information on crime intelligence to our MPF so that they can then operate together. And whenever we are having joint operations, there are two divisions as well, they are involved so that we can share the crucial information. So that when we brief our members with during the joint operation, they have the same understanding what are we targeting during the operation. So that they are involved with the two divisions. Then the question of the joint operation from the Honorable Hunevald. When there is a joint operation between the metros and the police, the SAPS is always in charge of those operations. The question of Section 205, Honorable Redelanis, there are no investigation powers here for the metro police. In terms of the crowd control, the metro police are trained as well in terms of our crowd control, but we take note of the challenge that we experience due to the incident of Maritana. Remember, we are still looking at that, and we are starting to train our members in terms of the recommendations that we made. So the metro police will as well fall into that training so that we ensure that we don't repeat the same incident that happened in Maritana, and we are able to work professionally with all the communities that are having the right to protest. With the one of the establishment of a specific why the Eguru lane was seen at Lutuli House, that one will use for the chief to answer why they were there. Remember, during the operations, we do call in all the law enforcement agencies, but the chief of metro will have a better answer why the Eguru lane was in the JMPD jurisdiction. So the JMPD and Eguru lane, I don't know who will answer between the two. Okay. Honorable Muller, your question on the Nelson Mandela Bay, why is it not operational currently? That one I will just leave to General Gwena to answer. If he does have the answer on that, because remember it's the internal files. So he will share his the challenges that he knows. The one that he don't know, he wants heaven. Okay. If the provincial commissioner and the head of police, metro police, do meet at regular basis to discuss the crime in the area, yes, they do. During the provincial crime combating forums, the chief of metros are invited to sit in so that they can discuss. But as well, during the planning of the operations by the deputy provincial commissioner policy, the chief of metros are invited to have a discussion in crime. They do have the picture of the crime that is happening in the metro areas so that they can operationalize the information and ensure that they prevent crime accordingly. Although we do have a picture or a challenge when we are doing our day-to-day operations, you will find out that, for an example, in the N1, after 5 kilometers, you will experience a stop by police. Then after another 10 kilometers, we experience a stop by the metro. Those are our teaching problems, but we are working on them because we were instructed to ensure that we integrate in all these operations so that we see the success of our road policy. We realize that now we don't just spend and say we are operating, but we are not integrating. So we are working on this teaching problem currently. The relationship of metros and the SAPS is good. I must say, as we have noticed as well in our presentation, there's a lot of factors that are balloting. It means we are communicating and we are making sure that we operate. Because the main goals of the SAPS and the MTF is to ensure that we create a safe and secure environment for the individuals of this country and the visitors. That is the goal. And we need to ensure that we always emphasize on a relationship. Yes, you might have the challenges with the relationship of our conflict areas, but we as the chief and the SATS, we are working on that to ensure that we close every gap that is there so that we operate professionally. I thank you, Honorable Chair. I will just hand over to General Gwena to deal with the issue of Nelson Mandela. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair, Honorable Members. Honorable Member, I think it has been noted that the metro was established in 2012. And even during the presentation by Chief Ngubeni, it's clear that it is not yet fully operational. There is an acting ship there. There are no members currently there, registered as metro officials. There are administrative problems, training problems, and other problems that they are currently attending to. I cannot really articulate deeper into what these problems are, but I think the acting chief of metro there, Nelson Mandela, can do that to the committee. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Chief Ngubeni.
No, thank you very much, Chair. I just want to confirm most of the answers given by General Mashia in terms of the cooperation. But for better understanding, let me just allude to the fact that the establishment of the National Metropolis Forum was primarily done to harmonize the relationship between the South African Police Services and the Metro. So what is happening there, we are sharing the current developments, we are dealing with the current frustrations, and we are briefed about the future arrangements. Meaning, all the issues relating to the sharing of intelligence information, sharing of the crime stats, it will be practically impossible for the metros to do the operations in the absence of the relevant information. So that structure becomes very, very relevant in terms of raising any concern nationally. Hence, we value the structure, and the continuation of the utilization of that platform helps that when we are summoned here, we are able to articulate to the issues in one voice. The issue of the availability of the Metro Police at the Tuna House. As province, we have got the memorandum of understanding between ourselves as the Johannesburg, the Tshwane, and the Eguli. This was necessitated by the fact that if the Tshwane Metro Police, as an example, is pursuing or chasing a criminal who crosses over to Johannesburg, the question that was asked was, must then we stop with that kind of a pursuit, or can we then proceed in terms of, you know, dealing with that particular issue? So whenever there are challenges in one of the metros, we help each other. I'll give you a number of examples. If we've got bigger events in Tshwane as a capital city, sometimes you find that our hands are so full where you source assistance from the sister department. So to deal with that proactively, we have amongst ourselves agreed, and we are making sure on a regular basis to show that the members don't abuse that kind of an arrangement. So they will only cross over as and when they are needed, and proper communication will take place between the different metros. So there is no situation where one day the chief of Johannesburg wake up and find the people of Ibrahim in his territory without him being aware or without him authorize such arrangement. The issue of the VIP cleaning services arrangement. The VIP services is accorded to the executive mayor. But it is his prerogative whether to extend those services to the executive committee. Some of the metros will want to extend that. Some of the metros will keep it to the executive mayor alone. Hence, you will see there all the metros have got that specific unit. And I don't think it is too much of a big issue because it's a little resources that we have been dedicated to those kinds of the units. I believe that the rest of the other issues have been covered by General Masia.
Chief, you must just reflect the vacuum. Maybe yourselves can answer that directly. You are here.
Yes. it is correct. All the members have been vetted and it's a continuous process. But we can indicate that sometimes this vetting is lapsed because of lack of capacity. The numbers have grown to such an extent that the unit that we receive responsible for that is unable to cope with the high numbers that are there. But I can confirm that those are continuous processes that are taking place. I can confirm with what the general has said. He is not a specific person who is attending those meetings on a regular basis. Hence, it necessitates that all the members of the department continuously they be assessed.
Jim, all the chiefs are vetted. All the chiefs. Yeah. Okay. I think we need also a full report on the status of all the municipalities. There's a few follow-ups on the responses, but maybe first the chief of the opinion. He wants to...
Also, Jim, there's my question on the relationship with NNC.
Just wanted to give you a particular aspect. For instance, most of ourselves, including myself and other chiefs, when we joined the individuals, we had our own security clearances from where we were coming from, whether from the Defence Force or from the SAPS. But as Independence has already spoken about this particular matter, when the security clearance expires, you find that the capacity from the department that is supposed to come in and ensure that this thing is being done correctly and not following it up. I remember myself, for instance, I've put my own forms, but the general has never been attended to. So those are the small issues, and I think we all know how it is the delay in terms of the clearances taking place. Maybe it is okay if you're doing it in your own department, whether we are in SAPS or in Metropolitan or in Defence Force. But because Metropolitan does not have its own capacity to deal with that particular aspect, it is really a problem. Thanks.
Who's the responsible department for that taking?
Yeah, gotcha. At the present moment, because of the place where we are at the present moment, myself I used to be vetted by the Defence Force, but now I'm at the responsibility of SAPS.
So we'll have to really prioritize that, especially the chiefs and the senior management. It's quite critical in terms of, it's 15,000 members that have got serious responsibilities in terms of policing, and we must have assurance as a committee that they are vetted. So we need to attend to that, and we'll have sort of update on that. But yes, let's take in all the follow-ups, and then we'll get...
I can't believe I've missed it. I didn't get the response on my first question on the national transport.
Yeah, no, there's a various number of chiefs that indicated they want to respond. Let them give us the response, and if they didn't respond, we'll give the follow-ups.
The question that was posed to us regarding the units, one of the honourable members mentioned that. I think you can clearly see on the presentation that we've got various units. I can just use paper as an example. We've got, like my colleague, we've got the gang units that work very closely because of the outlay of the communities. And that is working closely with SAPs like Operation Bombat. And it's important that we gather information, intelligence that's happening on the ground. I do believe there's always room for improvement in gathering information, intelligence and things like that. But with any established unit, there comes also technology. And it's important to note that, you know, there's always an offer to have these technologies available in order to have better policing concepts put in place. Once again, there is various things that we've established, and I think that's important just to note that these type of things, your normal day-to-day policing cannot just be done continuously. There needs to be innovative policing, and technology needs to be introduced in order to work a bit smarter. So these are the type of things that helps your police officers done in the day-to-day. Recently, we just established a sub-spotter that was identified in certain areas of pilot programs in order to identify where these things, these shots are happening within the communities. So there's various innovations, and I think that's important when it comes to as part of crime intelligence and better operational planning.
Thank you, Adrian,
then we'll go to the members for the clubs. I just wanted to make a follow-up on the issue of the vetting. That it is not entirely done by staff alone, even the state security agency is also involved. For instance, mine was done by the state security agency. On the other issue, let's follow up on this. With regards to corporations, we don't only deal with cooperation when it when it happens, but we also got information sharing through net joints and as well as prop joints. There would be intelligent indications to say there's a potential situation that might be a very destructive situation wherein we need to deploy early to assist one another. I'm responding mainly in the issue of the deployment outside jurisdiction, which is also done through the processes of averting a potential situation that could end up disastrous. So that's the reason why we find ourselves deploying in many other areas. For instance, recently we also deployed in Swani when the city was up in flames, you know, and nobody picked it up because we're in the periphery, you know. And these deployments happen continuously through necessary cooperation and understanding.
The issue about the drug units in Metro Police is that the certain situations of various different acts might be applicable to Metro Police, and the Drug and Drug Trafficking Act almost as is might be applicable to Metro Police. So although we run the investigation of the drug operation, we do the operation at the moment that the rocket has been registered or the people have been registered, the people has, are transferred to the SAPS. Furthermore, the SAPS Act makes it possible for Metro Police to have cross-border agreements, and the operations they do to do cross-border to assist one another is done strictly in terms of the SAPS Act relating to cross-border agreements. In relation to the building with the nut jobs and the nut joints, is that when you attend the nut joints, your first attendance there, you get automatically vet. So I don't allow you to attend those meetings unless everything is in order, and it is done by SAPS. Then as far as the National Traffic Police is concerned, they do not fall under the SIPS or the Metro Police. Our entity completely separated from us. We do not have insight into the operations, nor they report to us, or we have much joint operations in the sense that they might have roadblocks with us, but their operations completely separate. It's difficult to own how they operate because they were not established by any of the Metro Police or the SIPS. And our entity completely by themselves, run by themselves. I hope that answers kind of the question.
Thanks, Honorable Chairperson and members. I think there are two questions that the directors asked. The first one with regards to the number in respect of the Western Cape, Advocate Ngele, and the Holo, they will talk to that. With regards to the last one from Honorable Member Mulvati, training awareness that we are doing as the IDT in respect of drugs, I think we do as an oversight from ourselves as IDT. We prioritize drugs and neglected APS, but going forward to make sure that it is included in those particular extra train sessions so that we just have to make sure that we deal with this particular issue. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Sir Patrick. Thank you, Sir Patrick.
maybe trying to attempt to answer the question around the high numbers. I think the question was why the high violence. The answer to that earlier I won't know, but I can explain why we have a high number of assaults, which is, I think, we're leading countrywide. Most of those assaults are common assaults where people have alleged that they've been pushed around or been slapped. And if you look at our documents, the supporting documents, most of them have been declined to prosecute by the NPA, indicating that, in their view, the cases would not go any further. On the maybe second part, which is also maybe some form of indicating the high level of violence which reflects in death and custody, I think there's one matter there. That one matter was a natural cause which was found by the pathology to be a personal fight was because of an epileptic fit. And then on the two, which is police action, one is an investigation, the other one was an accidental discharge during the safety drill of a firearm where a member was hit by another member. So it was not violence directed to elsewhere, but it was an accidental discharge. Then on the lot of discharges of firearms, I think that chairperson was a result of, I think the metro, the Cape Town metro reports every discharge, which they actually expected to do. And if you look at our attachment, most of those were closed as unfounded because we went out to investigate and we came back to say, but this discharge, firstly there was no attempted murder, there was no one who was shot at. It was discharges and during protest action, we found that they acted within the ambit of the law. So that's why maybe in some of the numbers will have high numbers than the rest of the other colleagues. Thank you, Chairperson.
Chairperson, I think Azatim Gale covered it, particularly on the discharge. It is correct that if one recalls that during the time there have been quite a number of protest actions in the Western Cape along N2, and in many of those cases, the Metro Police would report to ICRIT and ICRIT would conduct a preliminary investigation in terms of specific 1C and then come up with the finding. And many of those findings, there were no professional criminal action that was found in the investigation. Thank you.
I'd like to go now to the questions that's been unanswered. The first one is from my side. I asked specifically for the Metro Chiefs, the authorization to have these specialized units, especially with regard to public policing, you know, in terms of crowd control and the drugs. I just want to get on. In terms of what acts or regulations did you base that on the rule all about you?
My question on was not answered of where do you draw the line? When you say this is for subs, this is for us. I'm going to give you an example. One day I visited the Harankua CSC. I found two young trainees of Metro. And I wanted to be helped by subs. I refused when they wanted to help me. I said to them, no, you are working in the street. I'm going to be helped by SAPS. The point here is also, is the community aware of this? Because the community, what the community knows is you only deal with traffic fines and so on and so on. A traffic offense is not fines. Yeah. Do you make some awareness to the community that you also do domestic violence? And what do you do if somebody transgresses a domestic violence act? What do you do? Thank you.
That's my question on the civil claims. I haven't had a response. If you could perhaps just respond to
that. Thank you, Chairperson. The Metropolitan Police Department's presentation. May you please brief us on the value of the photo reflex that I'm seeing on the revocation document, please. Another question is on Metro Police cases report. I see there's an additional document here. This document is dated the 23rd September 2016. And we are here on the 7th of September 2016. May you please just make me understand what is cooking? Thank you.
Thank you. Follow-up?
Yeah, the follow-up question, Chairperson. General Gwen, I'm not satisfied about your response on in Nelson Mandela Day. He said there is an acting. Is he working alone? And what, he is not here. And I think, Chairperson, we must call this acting so that into our control committee, so that he can give us clarity, because I can't understand what he's saying. Is he making alone, or there are members, or what? And who's fighting who? And why is he reporting, or she? I don't know if he or he, where is he reporting to? Thank you, Chairperson.
Hello? I'm sorry about?
Chairperson, I'm not sure. Can I ask follow-up, or can we ask new questions? Okay, thank you. Okay, thank you, thank you. Now, I'm still waiting for my answer on my first question. Can I ask the person on a follow-up of what I said about so many cases of assault and all that sort of thing? My question is to Metro Cheese. Do they have psychometric tests for people? Because, you know, if you read, let me just read one. It was EMPD. And EMPD officer stopped the victim and explained to him that he was driving too fast. The officer asked for a bribe. The victim did not have money and produced a camera instead. The officer thought he was being photographed and shot the victim. Now, I mean, to say, well, there's not always enough evidence. In this specific case, it's not a bad maybe. But that is an attitude. And unfortunately, I must say, Chairperson, I've experienced it myself, that especially at the airport, if you stop there and just take your bags, you have some officers. You just stop and say, why are you waiting? And the attitude is, listen, I'm an officer who's got authority to arrest you. With great respect. That's why I'm asking, do we have psychometric tests? Because as far as I'm concerned, not everyone has a personality to be a Metro Police member. Mm-hmm. So that's my follow-up. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Thanks, sir. One follow-up. Given the response across about the VIP protection units, which seems to make sense, but then following on from that, just to ask whether there are any circumstances or conditions under which Metro Police would provide a VIP protection services for an MEC, because I saw something very bizarre when I was at the Hillsborough Police Station early last year, where the MEC for Community Safety and Liaison came into the station surrounded by a phalanx of JNPD officers, and I just couldn't understand, because as far as I know, MECs have VIP protection from SAPS. So are the circumstances under which and why that kind of thing would happen? And then my second question, it came from the IPED presentation, but I'm not sure if they would be able to answer it. There's one case of assault on slide 4 against the Nelson Mandela Bay Metro Police. But as we've heard, it's not operational. So I have to assume that complaints would have been against the, I guess, now suspended Metro Police Chief. What was that case? Who lodged that? Because obviously they weren't on operational duty. So what were the circumstances of the case, if we know it? I don't think I saw it in the details table that we were provided. But then she can ask a bit of the sound.
I will come back to the ground, but because we are now extended follow-ups, I've allowed it, but let's get the follow-ups done with, and then we'll come to the second round.
Okay.
So, you're welcome. Let's start with Chiefs again, and then the Chiefs, and then I present you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. The question of Honorable Mulibas.
that we didn't answer and the metros answered it. The overlapping of duties, I would have said that. With the specialized units like the K9, what we normally do, if we are having integrated operation, we utilize those. But then, we don't have the integrated operation on a daily basis. They also have their own operation as the MTF, and that's why they utilize the specialized units. With the experience that we had in the CSC in Harangua, I will just say that that was not on. You are correct. When we are in the CSE and you have to be attached to the members of the South African Police Service, that the members who are managing or managing the CSE, they must attend to the client in the CSE. And with the question that you asked about the domestic violence, we have issued the national policing standards to the metros on how to deal with the Domestic Violence Act. There is a guide on the responsibilities of all the officers, how to act and how to give the assistance to the victims of the domestic violence until it is brought to the attention of the police. Of course, you must remember that whenever a Metro Police service member is arresting or is assisting, the end point is the CSC in the South African Police Services. So they are given guidelines on how to deal with those. With the issue of the road traffic management cooperation, Honorable Commander, this cooperation is independent. They are managed from the Department of Transport. So their operations, yes, we integrate with them, but their main issue for the adherence of the forum that we hold on a quarterly basis is to share the information on any challenges that we might experience and that we might experience on the road policing. I thank you, sir.
Follow up on that specific issue on what you know.
Yes, please, it does make sense to me. So why do we have that? Do they have certain authority, for instance, can they pull me off and ask me questions because I've got good, well marks, vehicles and everything, but now I hear that they don't have control.
Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. No, it is right on that score that they are working on their own. There are instances when they work with the police as well as the metros in big operations. But they were established by the then Minister of Traffic, Minister Zbundebe, under the Road Traffic Management Corporation. And since then, they were in fact intended to be a unit, just that they are expanding off now, but SAPS has no control over them. They are under the RTS. Responding to the Honourable Member about the issue of the Nelson Mandela Bay, Honourable Member, firstly, I don't know why the acting Chief of Metro at Nelson Mandela Bay is not here. As I've indicated during the presentation, I indicated that the metros are completely independent from that. We have no authority over them. Everyone was invited to attend this forum. I can't really explain why the chief, the acting chief, is not here. I indicated during the presentation that there were challenges why the unit is not running. I didn't indicate that there were highs and who's fighting who. I said challenges. It can be proven from the presentation by the committee that the unit was established in 2012. Even now, even during the presentation of the chairperson of the chief of police, is indicated that it is not yet operational. Thank you.
The responses. Let's go to the chiefs. Yes. I think from the left hand side was the chief. I'll give follow up. Some members, we've got enough time. You're welcome.
Thanks. I think I'm going to just add upon some things that have been left out. Firstly, the issue of playing the claims. Wherever the Metro Police are involved in any infringement, sometimes it happens when they're together with SAPS. The law against the SAPS at Metro Police, they sit down and look at the problem itself. And if it is really the responsibility of the Metro Police to play that thing, the municipality plays that particular aspect. If it's an SAPS fault, then it goes to SAPS. if it was happening only with Metro Police alone, we take that particular responsibility if the case is against us in any court, or there are such things happen in every other places. Then the other one that has been asked by the chair, including the Honorable Mullah as a president, said there is a problem here that we are talking about the issue of doing the psychometric test, and the chair was talking about the vetting. I think we have to be in the position. I'm not sure that I'm the one who's failing to understand. The psychometric test can be done, but it cannot help us to reduce the problem, the scourge that we've got of people wanting the bride and everything. But now I think the vetting is the one that can assist. And unfortunately, we cannot go deeper to our members and demanding that particular vetting if there is no national or council documentation that is assisting us looking at the unionization of the organization in which we are working at the present moment. We understand the need of those particular things, but also to ensure that we must not also pick up the ball of the union, even ourselves, so we have to know how to play that particular game. Thank you.
I think the essential thing is vetting is quite important, because I think the issues of bribes is an issue with relation to Metro that is known to everybody. So it's quite important that those municipal councils, the Metro councils, or the relevant parties in control of that must ensure that there is vetting policies in place and that the necessary support is done to ensure that members' lifestyle audits and those things can take place. Otherwise, you're not going to have, you know, the confidence of the people. So that's I think, issue maybe at the national forum that SAPS and the Metro chiefs and ISPAC must go back and look at, that can strengthen that, so that they can be also confident, because that's what the NEP is talking about, a professional police service. And a professional police service implicates that people must be vetted, there must be confidence in the ability to serve. Chief recommends.
No, thank you, Chair. Maybe to add one point on the issues of the civic claim. It also depends on the complainant, where does he or he wants to lay the claim. So some will generalize it and take it to the Minister of Police. So, like Chinzama has indicated that each sphere of government becomes liable for the payment of those claims. The issue of the honorable member of the Haragua issue, it must be noted that when we do the training for the Metro Police officers, part of the training program is we deploy them at the police station, because there are some subs modules that they need to do there. Hence, you find them at the police station. So, they are part. That is part of the training program. So, when you see them at the police station, they should not necessarily be supposed to be at the road alone. Remember, our mandate is part of our mandate is crime prevention. That which give us the powers of us dealing with part of what SAPS is dealing. That will also respond to the chairperson's question on the issues of the mandate pertaining to the specialized unit. That is why staff are they are training us in that regard, our K-9 unit, our equestrian unit, because in terms of the act that established the Metro Police, such functions have been aligned with such.
The, sorry, is it aligned or devolved or authorized?
Remember the thing?
I'm looking for the authorization of all these many of units, and I can't get the answer. That's a concern for me.
Remember, the training standard is determined by the National Commissioner. So everything, for instance, the issue of the crowd management, the issues, and all the other related issues, are the standards, described by the National Commissioner as his powers in the Act. The protection of the senior...
You're going to give us the reference. You're going to have the key brand of arguments. You'll give us the reference.
Yes. No, you're welcome.
So on the issue of VIP protection, remember when the executives are moving around the different areas of the metro, regardless of the party line, wherever they are executive, the police are there. So there's not necessarily an issue of having a static deployment that would deal specifically with a particular principal. So along the operational areas, you will continuously see this kind of arrangement. And remember, the national VIP is coordinated by South African Police Services. And as our sister organization, they have the right to sometimes request us to assist wherever and whenever it is necessary. For the Johannes Department, maybe Chief Zama will say that.
Thanks, Chair. Just to respond to the Honourable Member's question on the VIP protection for the MEC. I have no particular knowledge of that particular incident at Hillbrook Police Station, but I can safely say to this committee that the MEC for community safety is not afforded VIP protection by JMPD. As you already said, I think it's the SAPS that provides VIP protection for the MEC for community safety. JMPD only provides VIP protection to the mayor as well as to the speaker of Kashan. The only other person that JMPD provided VIP protection to is the MMC responsible for transport after the State Security Agency conducted a security assessment on that MMC. That was after there were problems with the taxi industry after the establishment of the BRT transport system. Thank you.
Just on the question, there was two questions. The one is, are we compelled to report domestic violence incidents? Yes, we are. This legislation is required for us, so we do have registers all in place, and SAPS do our regular checks at our depots. And if any incident of this nature is brought to our attention, we have to act, we have to report ourselves. Just on the question on the, do people really know who we are? Over the years, there are various programs that most of the members have put in place, social crime initiatives, visiting schools, having road shows, having the cadets, youth cadets program that we've got in place. This is a way of interacting. Also, we get invited at various levels to come into the community to talk at schools and things like that. So by now that the community knows exactly the roles and the responsibilities, and what's important is to go down to grassroots level, to interact so people know our responsibilities. So yes, there is initiatives that have been put in place in order to interact with the community. People have obviously identified the type of uniform that we wear, and when it comes to any type of initiatives and things like that, these are the platform that people normally invite us and just to talk and things like that. And one of the most important things is you can see our specialized units like the canine units and the equestrian units. These are things that we use as part of marketing strategies. We go out and we interact with the community and tell them the good and the bad things about drug abuse and things like that.
Thank you, sir. Let me deal with the issue of our time of precinct. Honourable member, I can promise you that there are actions that we are taking with regard to that issue, because we have picked up a number of cases that have been reported to us with regard to corruption in that area, and I've already started the process of appointing a new commander who has previously removed, and we are returning him because we also noted that there were instances where members were complaining about that particular commander because he was strict in ensuring the law. So we are coming back, that commander in fact will be starting soon, and we also included our internal affairs unit to investigate some of these cases, and they are working very closely with IT, and they are of great assistance to us as well in terms of following up these kind of cases, and we can assure you that work is a challenge we deal with it.
since we took over from last year, we have actually processed more than 28 cases of corruption through the internalized unit. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chief Mahabe. Is there anybody else responses outstanding? My honourable members, let's go for a 10-minute tea break, and then we come back for the second round. Thank you very much. 10 minutes.
I can invite someone or something like that.
in terms of all the relevant metros, is there oversight committees in place? I just want to get an indication. And then the second issue is, last week we received the presentation from the South African Police Service on the national crime stats. Now I want to know, in terms of the statistics of the Metropolitan Police Services, what is the compilation policy in each of the metros and where is it reflected? Because if we've got 15,000 members of the metro operating, it's a substantial number. And just to get an indication what is the process in terms of oversight. Right, let's go to the back. Honourable Mavunda.
Thanks, Chair. Let me start from the point where I raised the hand during the presentation, and during the answering the questions. I just wanted to propose that the question of Nelson Mandela Metro should be taken offline in these discussions, because I think we received different responses. She said there is an invite, but she said he doesn't know about the invite because he never mentioned it during his presentation. Except that the present concern is not here. And we do not have an apology to say where he or she is. So I just wanted to say it's better that we take it off, and then the person concerned should be called, you know, to present so that we know exactly what is happening. Because I think the fact that he or she is acting, there has been a crisis or challenges. Now, those challenges cannot be kept secret. They must be exposed to this portfolio committee so that we know as and when to provide with the intervention to the challenges, because it's of a public interest, I should think.
Thank you for that input. Ministers, maybe to indicate if all goes well and if the planning is good, we will be next week in Nelson Mandela Bay, the portfolio committee. And I think it would be prudent for us to interact with the municipality and the chief of police there on the issues. So I think it's used that opportunity next week to do that. But it's unfortunate that there's no apology, and it's unfortunate they're not here. But I mean, we can't do anything about it. Let's deal with it when we are down there with the oversight for it. Right. Honourable Market, you come. Honourable Malabachi.
So, I'm worried about the bikes that go on in our roads. I'm thinking, if there is no way that you can come up with something that somehow deters this, the issue of price is making your work not visible. Because people do as they please. As long as I've got something in my hand, I can give it to you just like that and go on with whatever I was doing. I'm looking at things like cameras on the body of the traffic officer when he puts it on like a bulletproof vest, and then it says that he knows that the commander is looking at him at any given time, so maybe it can serve as a deterrent. But other than that, it's going, it's bad on the street. It's really very very bad. My other point is, you see, we get calls in the township to say, I've been trying to call the police station because there's this noise pollution from the nearby tavern. And the response I got from the police station is, that is the work of the metro, not us. Can you verify that? Thanks.
Thank you,
Chair. Let me start off by saying that does Metro, in terms of this, consult with the Provincial Commission in terms of your plan? I don't think that was answered. In terms of this, you should be communicating with the Provincial Commissioners. So if you could just tell us whether that is being done or not. But, you know, I must tell you that in my understanding from what I actually see, also Metro Police tends to be taking more than they can handle, or it appears they don't have the capacity for certain things. Like, I'll give you Municipal Health, in terms of the bylaw, the Metro Police actually acts on these things. And I can tell you, it's agreed in Durban, West Cape Town, Metro, in Gatesville, it's an absolute mess. Try to get all of the Metro Police to come there to address the challenges of the contaminated stuff, being food stuff that's being sold, the expired food stuff. We Metro Police are supposed to be acting on in terms of the bylaw. It's really not on to such an extent that we suggested the Department of Health, National Department, take it away now from Metros. Because the Metro Police and Metro Health are not performing at all. So there's a serious problem there. There is a lot of allegations that Metro Police officers sleepily fight just to get the speeding cameras in the mornings. They sleepily fight just to get these cameras. And the reason for that is because of what they tend to be making out of the road every time they stop. And apparently they also fight in certain areas where you are in conflict with the provincial departments. And I mean, this has also come to it. The other thing is that we have noticed, and I have personally noticed, and I can tell you, and I'd like somebody to disagree because I'll prove that. Since the Itemini in Durban and Cape Town, the harassment that the sex workers have just by the Metro Police officials and the price that these girls have to pay repeatedly. I can tell you, take the entire North Belleville area and don't speak to them and you'll see Itemini. I can tell you in an area in Itemini, if you go there, if you want to see police vehicles, Metro vehicles, find them there. There will be more than 2 minutes that you won't find a vehicle patrolling that area, I can tell you. That's how bad it is. So for me, you know, it appears for me that there's also a serious challenge between what falls under the mandate of Metro Police and what falls under the mandate of the SAB. And there's a lot of confusion. Maybe we need to at some stage try to see if we could identify these challenges and find solutions to it. But I want to agree with my colleague, Honorable Hunabar, the arrogance of some of the Metro Police officials. I've had that day about the other day. Rude and arrogant. I can tell they believe they're above the law, they can stop you, even if it's not a good enough reason. If you're not giving them a bribe, you've got trouble. I can tell you now. So when we talk about very little or no corruption in this document, I can't accept it. I can tell you. Thank you, sir.
You want a second bite? Yeah.
I'm sorry, I just forgot. When I started to congratulate General Queen on his appointment. Thank you very much.
Honorable Peter? Bula?
Thank you, Chairperson. In your presentation, it slide 5. You said 87 cases are active and 47 cases are closed. What do you mean? My second question, does each Metro Police agency have a service level agreement with the HAF? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thanks, Chairperson. Going back to the National Road Traffic Police, I think if I could suggest that we as a committee at some point have them before us explain their powers, their functions, etc. Because not only, it's not necessarily a duplication, but I'm pulled over for driving under the influence. That's a criminal offense. As far as I'm concerned. I've never been pulled over for that. Also, can they search my car? I don't know that in terms of the Constitution, the relevant legislation, whether they have seizure, those kind of powers. And perhaps then look at, do they belong in the Department of Transport, or do they actually belong as a division or whatever of the South African Police Service? And there's confusion even in the provinces where some departments of roads and transport have the traffic police there, and in other provinces under community safety. So if we can at some point just engage with that. And finally, just a final comment from my side. I'm a resident of the city of Tshwane, and I know that the Metro Police gets a lot of flack, and with good reason. There is arrogance, there is corruption, etc. But I do appreciate the work that they do, and I have to say thank you to them and commend them. I know it's a thankless job, just like being a police officer. And I know that a lot of the challenges, and I've spoken to many Metro Police officers in Tshwane, I know that a lot of the challenges and where the bribery, etc. comes from not being paid enough, those kinds of things, not making ends meet. And I know that there are significant challenges that need to be addressed at the municipal level in terms of payment or salaries, etc. But from my side, I just thank you for the job that you do, and I do see that there is a role for Metro Police. They are very important. even though it seems that there are duplication of functions, they have a very important role to play, especially in our metropolitan department. So thank you.
Honourable. Thank you, Chair. Chair, I must put on record that I am not satisfied at all on the answers I received today. Specifically on my questions on the psychometric tests, it appears to me that there are no psychometric tests. There's a big difference between heading and the psychometric tests. That's why we've got the problem. I mean, if you go on social media and you see, for instance, on YouTube and everything, where people are just pulled off, and if they ask you why you want to arrest me, they just don't answer you. And I want to be quite frank about it. These sort of incidents is arising the question from myself, why do we need Metro Police? Are we talking about 15,000 on the Metro? Why can't the police be part of the police service as such? I'm getting to a stage where I doubt whether we really need Metro Police. But that said, Chairperson, my last question is, I see that each and everyone has an equestrian unit. What do they do besides patrol? Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. First question from my side is, it stood out to me that only the Cape Town Metro Police had indicated having a division that is focused on CCTV. And I think that speaks to the broader issue around leveraging technology and sort of smart policing. I know, for example, the CCTV network in the Cape Town CBD is a big help in the context of the partnership with the CIJ and so on to prevent and deter crime. So I just wanted to ask of all the chiefs, sort of what the focus and the implementation of bringing on board various technologies. Honourable Mulabasi already mentioned, for example, the benefits of body cameras, for example, to address that challenge. Chief Leroux mentioned the hotspotter in terms of helping to build up information profiles around gun violence. I think I also read in the Sunday Times in the past 2 or 3 months that there was something called EPIC, some sort of software app that the Cape Town Metro Police are also bringing that in. If they could just expand on that. But sure, just to speak about the focus on technology and the benefits that can bring and what's been discussed in the information sharing forums. And then my second question relates to the iPad cases. Honourable Sheikh Imam has raised his concern about the high numbers in the Western Cape compared to other provinces, but my understanding of the response from the provincial head is that spoke to actual proactive compliance on the parts of the Metro Police around Section 29 of the iPad Act, where they have to report within 24 or 48 hours incidents in Section 28 and 1 ATF, something like that. So I think actually a good thing that the higher the number, because it means that the Metro Police perform their function, they comply with that section, and also I think it might speak to higher awareness levels among the public of their rights and of the ability to see recourse when they believe their rights have been violated. I think things like the reporter cop, the water cop program of the provincial community civil departments will certainly aid with that. But then what the provincial IPT did mention was that many of the assault cases in particular end up being closed as unsubstantiated by the DPP signing to prosecutes, which is potentially concerning, because then I'm wondering whether that speaks to the quality of the investigation that the DPP doesn't get a watertight case that they can pursue to conviction, or is there something about maybe sort of vexatious or over-exaggerated complaints where
you know, if in the course of an operation somebody gets nudged, you know, then that becomes an assault. Certainly never wants to underestimate or negate where somebody feels that they're being violated. But this high percentage of unsubstantiated or declined prosecutions do stand out, and I'm just wondering if the provincial head can speak to any analysis they've done and how to address this. Thank you.
I'm worried about my two questions were not responded to. I asked a question about the value of photos like this. And again, the 7th and 23rd September document.
One issue, Honorable Bache, sorry. Yes.
My friend, Honorable Lillian, is something that is not sitting right with me now. And I'm trying to avoid it, but I must bring it up. You said, you know that people who take bribes don't earn enough. It's like we're condoning bribes. A person who's used to stealing is used to stealing. Whether it gets three times that salary, he will steal. And that is it. Thank you.
I'm not condoning it. I'm just saying, if you talk about psychometric testing, those kind of stuff, that's where it should be picked up. I can understand that there are social factors that could motivate. It doesn't mean it's right. But it seems to be other systemic challenges in the Metro Police. And it's certainly not right when I've ever encountered and I report it. And people who tell me about it, I tell them to report it as well.
I don't know if I could give us more clarity on all these cases as to those that were tried and tested and convicted, and rather than just giving us information on those that are going to be going to the senior public prosecutors, those that are being active at this point. It doesn't really speak to really exactly what the status quo is, whether they are, if there were 100 cases, how many were convicted and things like that. Maybe that is what we really need. You may not have it today, but at some stage if you can actually send it to us, that will give us a clearer picture of what is happening.
Let's see. In terms of section 205, subsection 1 of the Constitution, says the National Police Service must be structured to function on a national, provincial, where appropriate, local spheres of government as well. So my question is, it's with regards to authorization of the driver's license vis-a-vis the road accident. Often than not, you find that these drivers sometimes possess the fraudulent obtained driver's license. Now, during the test or the testing of a driver, I see the traffic officers be part of the testing. But in the end, the driving school sometimes collide with the traffic officers, you know, to issue the driver's license that is not perfect, that is, you know, obtained through whatever rights or whatever it is, but not legal. So I want to check as to how does the SAPS get to intervene, or how is the working relationship during that testing procedures and so on. So, because, you know, I think it's a criminal act for a driving school to issue a license to a person who does not qualify. So I think this is one of the things maybe I want to understand, because the Constitution says, where appropriate, as a guest will have to check or to link with the municipalities. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Maybe a question just to all the metro chiefs. Now, I think part of today's discussions as well as to ascertain where we are in terms of police service in the country. I think Anbo Groenewald also referred to, you know, in terms of the process that we're going to embark on in the next few months as well. I just want to know whether the Metropolitan Police Service has used the opportunity to get input on the white paper process of policing, or did they give a joint presentation, or did each of them, you know, participate in that process? I just want to get an indication on that. Right, that's the questions for this round. Let's go to SAPS, the Chiefs, and IPET.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. I will start with the question of Honorable Mulibatsi on the noise pollution. This is, when you call the police station, yes, they will tell you that the metro needs to act on it because they are policing bylaws. That is their mandate. But we as well attend to it in terms of the public distance. But the people who are using the equipment to test whether the noise is acceptable or not is the metro. So we'll just only attend to it as a noise, a public disturbance, and we'll send the members there just to communicate and try and make sense to the cabin owner or the shipping owner of that area. The communication between the MTS and the Provincial Commissioner's Honorable Chairman, there is a communication between the two bodies. We have in our presentation alluded to it on slide number 13 that there must be an annual plan done in conjunction with the Provincial Commissioner by the executive of the Ministry of Police. So there is that, and I have indicated as well that during the POP joins, the PCCF is the Provincial Crime Combating Forum, and the province, the Metro Police are involved in all the operation, the planning of the operations there. With the question of the sharing of the information through the CCTV, I will leave that one for General Gwena to answer it. Honorable Mabunda, on how does the SAPS get involved or intervene on the issuing of the driver licenses? We are not involved with the issuing of the driver's licenses. However, if there is information that is given to us that there is corruption, then we do involve our own intelligence and the investigation starts from there. But we are not there when the licenses are issued by our metros. I think you should
listen. Thank you, General. The Chiefs, you're welcome, sir.
Thanks, sir. I'll try to answer some of the questions and I'll allow other chiefs to respond to those questions that I might have left behind. First, there was a question that you asked about the crime stats. The crime stats is rested with SOEPS in relation to crime, because all the cases where we have made the arrests must be registered with SAPS, and the SAPS automatically becomes a SAPS issue. So we are left with nothing after we have made a particular arrest. Similarly, when you're dealing with the traffic cases, when you look listen to Department of Transport during the campaign of the festive season on the transport campaign, all the arrests that are made by metros and other municipalities, the particular status is going to the Department of Transport. That's why the Department of Transport can be able to give the whole community of South Africa in terms of provincial and nationally how are the enforcement are going in relation to that particular aspect. So at the present moment, that's how I can give you about the information relating to the statistics. Then the other question that came about the oversight. We do have the oversight. We always discuss the very same oversight in the quarterly forum that we've got. And theoretically, as individual metros, we also have up and downs about the oversight, because there is a combination of the council as well as the normal community members in terms of the formation of our oversight. So in the issue of the community members, even some of the members are not attending the way they are supposed to be supposed to, then it takes some time to realize a particular person that maybe does not want to be part and parcel of that particular oversight, to make sure that the oversight must revisit the issue of formation of or calling more other members to participate. And on the side of the political side, that is the councillors and other people, you find that during the times of elections are not available as you might have need them to come and see. And as a result, you find that there's a little bit of a problem in terms of the running of the local oversight. And unfortunately, we as chiefs in the oversight are just coming there to account. The person who must ensure that the oversight is in place is a municipal council, as a municipal manager. Well, of us, from time to time, we assist the municipal manager by telling him or her that there is a problem. The fact, can you revisit that particular aspect and all sorts of things? But we do have a particular oversight. The one main issue that was raised, and there was a lot of feeling that came to me from Honorable Hunewald, as also the chair, and the input that I made. I was not intending to oppose what Honorable Hunewald, as well as the chair, what has been said, but my thinking was a little bit running together with the two ideas. The issue of bribes, the issue of behavior of members, and so on. Yes, I agree, we do have the psychometric test, but if you look at it in terms of the employment, you only give a person a psychometric test once. And these people, they come and get employed with us for 20 years, 10 years, and so on. Now, why we agree with the issue of the vaccine in place, was that the vaccine is giving us an advantage, because it's something that you have to revisit every time with a member. Now, and the demand of the vaccine makes it difficult for a member to do a number of other things that are involved in terms of behavior and checking price and so on. But unfortunately, we as chief cannot do the thing if there is no supporting document, because our members are very level running with the union. We cannot say, come and just establish something if there is no supporting document coming from nationally or provincial. So that's why you have a particular problem. And I think that's why I would understand what I'm talking about if I'm not expressing myself correctly. Right, there is another issue that has been put here for. Unfortunately, the person who was talking about it, I don't think has got the right information, the issue of the speed cameras. The way we run our speed cameras, we have just stayed away from the camera that allows the members to stop any individual that is now in my city. We are just dealing with the speed camera that is very quick, automated. When a person has been passing the speed, they check the particular vehicle, the number plate, then you go and download it in the office. So we don't have the particular contact. Unfortunately, we're busy dealing with that particular aspect, also running away from our policemen to get contact with the members. The members of the party themselves, they are complaining. They want the contact with the police. Now, I find myself now knowing what must be done, because the one that you've been using, it just capture whoever is overspeeding in that particular area, then it's get time to in the offices. But the argument that we've got members of the public, they don't like that one. They want it to going to have the contact with the police. Now, we don't know which one must be run. You get on. So that is my fight. I think other officers are going to give their own fight in terms of the particular issue. But we used to have what we call it a conventional where we used to stop the community member, and there was a lot of complaints. And then we're running another terror now. We decided to stay away from that one. This one cannot give a contact with the members of the police. That's why we're having some other people complain. They say other policemen are standing right on top of the bridge. What about the policemen? How are we going to have the contact with you? And this camera has been checked. That it has got the capacity to take the speed of a person who's moving under the bridge. Even the magistrate of phone calls were taken to the scene. They see the vehicle which was running. They saw the speed was taken. That's why those particular people could not succeed the court. And they had no contact with the people, particularly they want to be having contact with the policemen. Now, I don't know what exactly is meant by the people. So that's my side. There were another issue that I'm trying to wrap up this one together, because there was an issue of the structure, the budget, and the price. I'm just appealing to the members of the House. Each and every municipality is structured differently. As a result, what we hear in Cape Town about having the CCTV, because if other cities do not have the CCTV, we do have the CCTV, but are not run by Metro Police, are run by some other organization within the municipalities, either the disaster management or emergency services. In the Johannesburg, if I'm not making a mistake, it was the Section 21 company that was running the CCTV. So you're using a different structures. It is running those couple of things. So now don't look at it as if Cape Town is the one that is having the thing, we don't have it. It's other structures, and you are not influential in making those particular structures. It is the council itself that makes the structure. The issue of the sex workers, I agree, and I always get the complaint that the policemen or my policemen and other policemen are taking a lot of bribes. We are having a very serious problem because the community members where the sex workers operate, they don't like it. As a result, they pressurize us with a lot of complaints, which makes us to send the policemen to go to those particular areas and chase those particular people. I'm not sure whether you understand the morale of that particular issue. If it's a small suburb, and you've got this sex workers behind your home, you don't feel easy, you've got kids and all sorts of things. These are the complaints that you always get. So we try to help the community members by ensuring that you remove those particular people, because the parents, they don't want the copying of those particular people by their own kids. Then in the process, you find that the police now, they find these sex workers becomes an easy target. This really, at the end of the day, it becomes impossible for us to take those particular issues. And if you look at the issues of the work itself, the sex worker, him or herself, finds it very difficult to come and complain because he's also afraid of the nature of the work one is doing. So these are the issues that we find every time when we work around. I'm not saying somebody is right there about doing those things, but these are the complications that happens when you're dealing with this particular aspect. And really, the community are complaining every time when coming to these particular issues. There was another issue that was raised by the Honorable Malirata, I'm not sure, about the issue of the body cameras. I think one of the issues on our first presentation was mentioned that we've got a problem on the limitation of the budget. There are so many things that the chief would have to have in ensuring that the policemen are acting better, and are also prevented from complaints that the committee is always complaining about. And they are also protected themselves from the dangers of the policing that happens on a daily basis. But unfortunately, we cannot test everything. And the council always tell us that, look here, they've got so many departments in this particular organization. Main money goes to the main priorities of this particular council. You think of housing, you think of water, you think of all other things. So you get a point. You see, then for that particular budget that you get, then you have to prioritize the smallest budget that you've got. You get a point. So, we don't think about this one. We've got organizations that come to us and present very different things in terms of technology. But unfortunately, those things do not come for free. You must buy them. You must have somebody giving them to you. But these are the issues that we are having. We don't know how can we ensure that we acquire all those things simultaneously. Then I think we'll all be happy. And if I said to the issue of packaging, the same thing, that you use the diligent resources for the important aspects. There was another question that came about service level agreement. I don't know really what I was trying to say here, because according to me, the act itself draws exactly the lines in which the metropolis and the SAPS are supposed to be cooperating. When we realize that there were some grey areas in terms of the act, that's when we decided to establish the forum, so that from time to time we'll honor to those few grey areas when you're sitting together, myself and SAPS. And in a certain sense, you can see that even if you might have drawn those service level agreements, we would have not expatriate, because even today we are still seeing, with sitting in the forum and still seeing some other things that are wrong, that are done by Metropolis or that are done by SAPS one way or the other. So the level of the level agreement really would have not closed that particular gap. There was one question that was which I'm going to try. The issue of the driver's license. This one is a little bit difficult. I don't think the same first comes in here because they've never been involved before, not unless the situation of this particular portfolio committee will make some amendments in coming to the head. The Department of Transport is the one that is looking after the issue of ensuring that each and every driver has got a driver's license. But because some of our work is with the Department of Transport besides the SAPS, we somehow get involved in some of the testing centers in ensuring that people are getting those particular driver license. And we don't talk to SAPS about this particular issue. We talk only to the Department of Transport. I understand that the complaint that has come up, we are also having a similar problem because we find that some of our officers from time to time get involved here. And the Department of Transport has got a way to assist us in terms of the forensic investigation when coming to the issue of ensuring that it is that particular driver. And that's when we can be in a position to take it to SAS, that's when we have got a prima facie case that it can stand in any court of law. So we cannot just assume that the person is caught a pipe about the particular license that they push into SAPS. Otherwise, the docket is going to be sitting with SAPS forever because they don't even know how to start investigating that particular aspect. So those are the issues that we've got. Unfortunately, I wanted to say, if chair can allow us, this is the second time, when the Honorable Mabija was asking the question, she was not very clear to me. And when you asked her to repeat again, she was still not very clear. So I will ask her to judge.
I think the question is related to others' presentation. For the chief. Oh, sorry, is that a microphone? I'm going to turn just the microphone. Thank you.
Let's protect yourself so that you can be able to come back. I cannot be asking one question 100 times.
No, thanks, Chairperson. What Chief Zama was saying is that we did not understand the question, the two questions that you were asking, hence we did not respond to them in the first phase and then the second phase.
In fact, your question is one. The other question belongs to IPH. Your question, my question to you is this, that may you please, or should I say, I humbly request you to make me understand the value of putting photos on all this all photos here, the metro, the page by page. I see faces, different faces under different municipalities. Now I'm asking, do those photos add value to the presentation? Simple as just the way I asked it from the beginning.
Honourable Member? Thank you very much, Honourable Member. We thought it is, it depends on where you're looking at it from, but we thought it is appropriate that we bring to the Honourable Member the different photos of the head of the various metros. But if it's not necessary, in the near future, we can relook at
it. Chairperson, point of order. I think there might be a difference in opinion. I personally like to focus, because then I can see who we're talking about. But I understand if the Honourable Member is differently. But I don't think we should take it out. I personally prefer it.
I allow Honorable Vijay and Honorable Abuna, but let's not debate. I think let's go to the real tough issues, but you're welcome.
Please understand me. I don't say it is wrong to have this photo. All our saying is does it add any value to the presentation? Now you have answered me. And I don't say it is wrong. I want you to understand. Don't get me wrong.
Yes,
I'm partially covered because I was about to say it will be a trend to change every time when this person is removed, the other one comes in, will be appear on the photo will appear on the paper. But I'm partially covered because I don't think this will be a permanent thing all the time. Thanks.
All right, let's move on to the chief for the other responses. Thank you.
No, thank you very much. I think I'll be very short. The chief Zama covered a larger ground. The oversight has indicated, I can confirm that he answered them, and should, in our last fitting as chief, all the metros oversight committees were in order, except for Nelson Mandela. And the issue of island plans, it's a very critical issue for us. In our last meeting, we all confirmed that all our plans have been signed off by the different provincial commissioners. The issue of the psychometric test, Chief Zama elaborated on that, that the members will do the psychometric test as they get recruited. But there are other programs. For instance, in Vane we have got what we call Batupili principles, where we continuously take members, you know, to engage on the customer relations, how they need to relate with the members of the public. So those are part of the programs in trying to see how we can improve the relationship between the members and the members of the community. Is there a need for the equestrian need, or what are their responsibilities? Yeah, they are very, very useful. There are areas where vehicles and the motorbikes cannot go, the mountainous areas. So these are very valuable resources that we are continuously utilizing to patrol those kind of areas, the riverside, the mountainous areas, and the equestrian yes, the parks, the equestrian units are very useful in that regard. It is correct that the majority of the municipalities, or let me talk to the Tshwane, we do have the CCTV, and we are continuously engaging the technology. Hence, you see there on our structure when I presented it, we have got research and resource development. In that space, we are continuously looking at the available resources in the market, but it also talks to what the Chief Zama indicated. Do you have money to expand these technologies to the maximum? For example, we continuously had complaints in terms of responding to the members of the public. The member of the public, there's an accident on the road, and maybe the members did not see them, they pass, or the accident is 200 meters on the other road. So when we as Tshwane, we have introduced what we call this app that we have put together called the Namola, where the members of the community can interact with the police without using the phones. They just push a button there, then we know that a member of the community is on distress, and then we also know that which vehicle is near that area. Hence, we received a number of compliments from the members of the community because we managed to have quicker response to those complaints. And then I believe the participation by the Metros on the development of the white paper. Yes, we were invited all the way to participate, and the presentations are continuously being made on the issues forum.
Okay. Just not to belabor the point of the rights, I think it's a known fact that one bride taker, one too many. And we take a zero tolerance on brides, and it's, you know, when people offer these things, we in fact decide the officer being, beside the officer taking the bribes, we also lay charges against the person who offered the bribe. I think that's also important. And I think what is a plus factor for us is that we even had an incident where some of our officers have come forward to report incidents where they see or they know that officers may be taking bribes. And just to zoom in on Patreon, we've started the anti-corruption hotline where people can report these types of things, because for us it's a concern when officers take bribes and things like that. We do also do regular checks on lifestyle audits, and just to make sure that, you know, everybody is following the proper channels. And it's important for us just to note that, you know, being a policeman is representing that organization and that municipality. So on the EPIC, the question of the EPIC. EPIC stands for Emergency Policing Incident Control. This is a technology that's been introduced. It's something new, similar to the 911 concept, where people will be able to see the deployment of vehicles, the closest deployment of vehicles, and how you use your deployment effectively. I think that's also something that we are very proud of, and that's something that we're reaching out to the police also in order to work, you know, integrate it with this type of concept. And my colleague touched on the CCTV. CCTV is a footprint that you can use as deterrent in order to be part of innovative, you know, working smart type of policing.
Yes. Also, just to give the citations of where do we get our powers from. Section 64O of the Police Act, I've got it there if you want to see it. It basically specifies that the National Commissioner can take any legislation and make a whole legislation or sessions thereof applicable to the Metro Police. Now, in the beginning, when the Metro Police was established, he promulgated annexures 6 and 7 to Regulation 11, which is on the board, and as you can see, they're just an example of what it looked like. This is an extract on the Act itself. If you look there, if we go a little bit, can you just go a little bit for me, a little bit more down? You'll see that a little bit, You'll see right at the bottom, it is Section 11 of Drug and Drug Trafficking Act, and then it specifies which section of the Drug and Drug Trafficking Act will be made applicable. In the more lighter legislation, like the revision of the Domestic Violence Act, sections of the Domestic Violence Act are made applicable to us in the Act itself. So the definition that will define a Metro Police Officer as an officer in terms of any legislation, and we define it as a Metro Police Officer, a police officer in terms of Section 1. It's applicable only to the SAPS, and then sections of that Act will be made applicable to us. So specifically your question relating to the Drug and Drug Trafficking Act, there were several sections of the Drug and Drug Trafficking Act made applicable to us, Section 1A, B, C, D, and G, and 2A, amongst others. And as Acts get repealed or changed, these regulations are amended. I don't know if that answers the question.
So, I think it's an important issue we'll have to engage with further, but what you're saying actually for each of the specialized units that's been listed today in the various venues, you are covered in terms of the regulations and the subject. That includes, you don't know, the drug issue, but also the issue of crowd control and those kind of things. Yes.
When I refer to some acts have been changed that are totally incorporated, the National Commissioner can also make regulations or national instructions to give a specific act applicable to us. In the case of crowd management, the hotel management was made applicable to us in a regulation. So in a regulation specifically was applicable to Metro Police, which specifies how we're supposed to, at which stage we have to translate. And we just need to hand if you talk about, for instance, land invasion, which is a similar to the municipal situation. And rather than my decisions for us, people, if you get a noise complaint, you want to riot. So, and also because of our work with taxis. So there's a separate whole regulation made applicable to the police in connection with health management, and where's the cut-off point, when we must hand over to the police, and what do we do in cases where the police do not act. There's also the training which they've given us at, and continuous joint training sessions in the regard.
The way could you give the assurance, I think, that in terms of all the specialized units, there is legal authority. I don't know, SEPs, do you agree, General, in all instances? Right. But as I said, that's the issue we will have to engage on, because of, again, about scarce resources, about priorities, and if those, some of those areas are not properly handled, it's going to create further problems in the implementation. But thank you for that information. Any other chief, or the chief states? I
think thank you. With regards to questions that were directed to the IBIT, we got clarity with regards to the one letter from the Nelson Mandela Bay Metropolis. The acting chief of police there, Mr. Allen Roby, he said that, it was established 2012, the Metropolis, then the launch was the 13th May 2016, and when he assumed duties 2 weeks ago, he suspended all Metropolis members as he realized that they were not operating without appointment certificate, and he also suspended all the operations. But the case was reported to the IP during the month of August. There is a case number there from Mount Road, CAS number 305 of 8 2016, and the details regards to the case that it was four Metropolis members from the Nelson Mandela Metropolis Department, as well as one SAPS member, and there are names that are given with regards to that. So as to whether it is legal or illegally established or launched, that's the matter between the Metropolis and SAPS. In respect of IP cases with regards to the high number of hospital cases, with regards to the decline as far as prosecution is concerned and the unsubstantiated, the quality, Honorable Dele, I don't think it will suffice to say that possibly the issue of quality, or we can even go to the issue of analysis. With regards to IPIT, all the matters that are reported to the IPIT, whether the matter is completed or finalized as substantiated or unsubstantiated, whether there is a substance in the allegations or no substance, all those legal matters, positive recommendations and negative recommendations, ended up on the table of the provincial DPP or SPP. I know that perhaps they can even close the door within their office as undetected or withdrawn. We don't do that. So we send all those legal matters with our recommendations, whether there is a case against the SAPS member or there is no case against the SAPS member. So where there are no cases as far as our recommendations are concerned, it's just a focus to send this to the deputy, then they will decline. And hence the high number of unsubstantiated matters that are completed by IPIT. In respect of the, I've clarified the one case issue with regards to the NMPD, the discrepancies with regards to the dates. I think that Morema will talk to that. With regards to the breakdown as far as the convictions or successes with regards to the matters relating to the Metropolis, will be able to provide that information. The 47 closed matters vis-a-vis the 37 active cases. Out of the 195 of the matters that we are handling as IPs, we have finalized or completed 102.
and out of 182, 9 are under control, and 37 were closed. So the remaining, which are still under investigation, it's only 37 out of the 195. I just wanted to verify that on our member levels. Thanks very much.
Yes.
Thanks very much, Mr. Chairman. I just want to find out, I've got this point from Chief Leroux, that they are also conducting lifestyle audits on their members. So I wonder whether, how do they do it? I just want them to tell us how do they do it, because that, I think it's done by our African Professional Unit and Financial Intelligence and such, where the allegations of corruption to do that. So if he says that doing the first, I don't know whether they, how do they do it? Thank you.
Well, it's a question for the department, that's an industry prerogative. So I think we will if we can get a written response to that, that will suffice. Other members, in terms of follow ups, this one will be the Bachi,
on the issue of lifestyle audit also, to check if the other five metros are doing it. Thank you. Because it can really help.
Thank you, Chair. I didn't get an answer to whether Metro Police have got the capacity to deal with these issues in terms of the bylaws and with the health challenges that they have with all these outlets on the street and things like that. And I wanted to know if I might, but with all these allegations against Metro officials and things, they've ever done a psychometric test at that time when the allegations in terms of finalizing those cases, and then the conviction rate in terms of all these cases that have come to you, if there's no clarity at some stage, but I just wonder if you've got an idea of what is conviction rate and a cost to the state or municipality in the case. And this is my question, again about political control and direction. I think it's, for me, it's a fundamental issue. If I'm the mayor or on the ECHO or the MMC for safety, do I have the powers to instruct the phone, pick the phone to the metro police department, to the police chief, and say, I want you to go there and investigate that, or deploy them? Does the mayor or the council in any way have powers to instruct or direct the activities of the metro police, or is it an oversight function and a resourcing function, and you're operationally independent from the MMC or from council? Thank you.
The other members? Thank you. Thank you, members. Let's go to those final questions. Mr. Mulema, and then you keep the back.
Thank you, Chair. I'm responding on the question raised by Honorable Mabila regarding the conflicting date, which is the 23rd and the 7th of September. The report was provided on the 23rd of August. 23rd of September is purely an error, for which I truly apologize, Chairperson. And then the date of the 7th reflects the date on which the report is supposed to be presented, which is today. I hope I addressed it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Yes,
you're welcome. Yeah. Okay. Chairperson, on the issue of capacity with regards to executing bylaws operation, I think we need to state that it's an ongoing process with regards to all the metros, because as we did the new step earlier in the presentation, you must have recognized that there is a serious imbalance in terms of the ratio of the police force and as well as the population. And we do try and for the international standards, which speaks to 1 to 100. But in most cases, it's even difficult to keep up with that because there are other factors like your natural attrition and many other related issues, and people move in environments like that. And you can never be at a point when you keep up. We try our level best. We can use the minimum resources that we have to respond to those cases. In terms of issue of capacity, we are trying our best with the same resources that we have on the ground. Okay, you can take up that one.
I would like to respond to both of them. The bylaws are a very complex issue. Sometimes it seems like it could be a policing function, but it actually isn't. If you talk about something like noise, it's one of the most controversial issues at the moment with metros, because you've got the Gauteng, you've got the Environmental Conservation Act,
which gives that authority to monitor a noise completely to a health department and not to a policing environment. So we've got a research group that is now looking at ways of how we can do a bylaw, but they have to have a national act which allows you to write a bylaw on top of that. In terms of this noise regulations, the community has to actually come up with a bylaw, which is almost impractical. But we are looking at all ways of what how to address these issues. And bylaw enforcement is a continuous process, and the noise complaints do get attention. Whether they report it to the Metro Police, don't leave it, we refer it, it gets tested, if it needs to be tested, and we do act on it. As far as the question about whether a mayor can give a Metro Police chief instruction, it's a very difficult issue, because councillors are also elected members of the community. So the community has got the right to complain to the councillor. Although a councillor will not find the Metro Police officer on the ground to give him instruction. What normally happens is that that councillor or mayor will invite you to the chief, and the chief will give the instruction to the members. But in our case, yes, a councillor can, through the right channels, give his problems to the Metro Police officer because he is the elected area representative of the community, if that makes sense.
Well, members, is that all the responses? Oh, yeah, I think there's nothing outstanding. Right, thank you very much, honourable members, and also the delegations. Maybe in closing, I just want to again refer to the National Development Plan, C89, and I quote, professional police uphold the integrity of the police service. They are knowledgeable about the law and their roles, carry out their functions competently, and understand their responsibilities to serve communities. In this way, they learn public respect and support and the rule of laws upheld by citizens. And then the National Planning Commission recommended the professionalisation of the police by enforcing the code of conduct and a police code of ethics, appointing highly trained skilled personnel and establishing a body to set and regulate standards. In terms of the code of conduct, because a lot of issues raised by the members relates to that. In short term, the code of conduct should be included in the disciplinary regulation and performance appraisal system. The police service and the Metropolitan Police Service Authority should provide all the members with a copy of the code of conduct. This should be linked to all human resource management system, and members should be required to sign a copy of the code, which is kept in their personal file. Periodic checks should be conducted to ensure that the code of conduct is understood and practiced. Disciplinary cases involved in the breach of code should be dealt with as a matter of priority. Police service members charged with misconduct should be required to leave their station immediately until allegations are tested and the case is finalized. A code of professional and ethical police practice should be developed and prescribed through regulations. So I think a lot of the input from the members today is about the kind of police service we want. We recognize there is a metropolitan police service in the major metros, but it's important that those members must subscribe to standards. Because if there's not trust in those police members, it affects the whole movement to ensure that all South Africans are on police side. If there's bad feeling about those police persons, and if there's no respect, there's also no respect for law and order, and that's a dilemma we must deal with. So I think finally from our side, I think it's important that the cooperation between SAP and the Metro Police in the current forum should be strengthened. There should be close communication with the provincial commissioners, and especially in terms of training and joint approach is critical, and especially the Metro Police is in some instances the first responders. They've got a duty to deliver a professional service. So I think from the committee side, we want to thank the Metropolitan Police for their hard work and their role they play. But I think there is a major push to ensure that all the members subscribe to the necessary standards. And I think vetting is quite vital. Lifestyle audits is absolutely necessary. Technologies implementation, we know it's budget constrained. But I think really we need to ensure that our Metropolitan Police is compared to the rest of the world. So that's quite vital. And SAP has got to play that important role. Of course, moving forward, the white paper process is going to be important, and we want to call on all relevant parties, make that contribution. When we later go to the SAP Amendment Act, let's see what we can do. But I think the issue of duplication is an issue that also came to court today. I think the specialized units are less concerned in a certain sense that some of the specialized units, even of SAPs, is currently, you know, there's attention to it now, there's duplication. So I think more discussions should take place. Do you want to do everything that SAPS is doing, or must you concentrate on your core function? So that's a big debate.
And I think we will also continue with that by going forward, that we get the best service for our citizens. But I think the numbers, the 12,000 plus members, they play an important role in keeping South Africa safe, and we recognize that role. Also, thank you, Ivan. Members, thank you very much. Thank you for your cooperation this week. We've been busy. As I said, if the visit to the Eastern Cape is on track, the committee section will inform you appropriately during the course of the week. So thank you very much. This meeting is going to